Okay, let's get started.
Oh, wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 17 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, the Pharaoh of the filter, Shelton Muller. How are you?
I love him. I'm good. I'm very, very well. The Pharaoh of the filter. Yes, I like that. And I still use filters.
Wouldn't you?
Well, can you believe it? I went to Vanuatu on holiday, and my wife is making heaps of... She's telling all my photographer friends that I did this stupid thing. Went to Vanuatu, tropical island, beautiful oceans, went snorkeling, all that kind of thing. And do you think I took my polarizing filter with me?
Oh, you're kidding.
Mate, I'm an idiot. I just had all this beautiful aqua ocean and coral reefs and didn't have my polarizer with me.
And I don't suppose you could have picked one up over there.
No, I don't think so. Not too easily. No. So, no. I mean, I still got great shots of the beautiful oceans, but, look, I felt so stupid. So I am the Pharaoh of the filter, but I'm a failed Pharaoh of the filter, unfortunately, in this particular instance.
Yeah, these things happen. So what are we going to cover this week?
Well, we got a few questions to answer.
We did,
which is great. Thank you all so much for your input. I really appreciate it because it helps me decide what I'm going to talk about each week.
Yeah,
and the more podcasts we do, the less subject matter I'm getting.
And the other thing is, the more questions we get, the more we know that we're actually covering the things that people want to hear as well.
Yep, absolutely. So I really appreciate it.
So yeah, thank you to everyone who has sent in questions.
Thank you. Yes, very much. Now, thank you, Paul from South Africa. Nice to hear from South Africa. You have a few questions. Let me just handle them very, very quickly. You wanted to know whether I had any preferences over the Canon 350D and the 20D or the Nikon D70 and D50. Mate, that's a very difficult thing to talk about, but just let me say that if your choice is about the difference between 6 or 8 megapixels, as we've said on this podcast before, there is no serious, concern. Really, in order to double your resolution, and that's what we're talking about, you need to quadruple your megapixels. So let's say you had a 3-megapixel camera. If you wanted to see a double of resolution, you'd have to go to 12 megapixels. So the difference between 6 and 8 is not really worth talking about in terms of what is discernible resolution. You need to decide, I suppose, which camera feels better to you to use. My personal opinion is that the D70 is a much better camera from a handling perspective than the Canon. It feels better in the hand and it just feels better on the inside. But between those cameras, it's about system as well. Which system do you prefer? Do you already have an established camera system that would link itself to either of those two cameras, because it would just make sense to stay with what you've got? You also ask about scanners, and it's a very good question. There is two that I would recommend, the Minolta Dimage Scan Elite, which is a DPI of 5400, which is pretty good. 5400 dots per inch is one hell of a scan, and it gets excellent reviews. I would put that up against the Nikon CoolScan 4ED, which is a 4000 DPI scanner, to be, again, not an incredible difference. Both of them sell in Australia for just under $1,000. And that's excellent because years ago I bought the Super Cool Scan 4000, the Nikon scanner, and it is excellent and it's still working very well. But it was 2.5 times that price.
And just to clarify for the listeners who didn't actually get to read Paul's email, he was after scanners that scan negatives, not just flatbed scanners.
Yes, my apologies. I should have clarified that.
That's all right.
But and look, that's a very good point, because if you get a flatbed scanner that does negatives and slides, they do a good job. But if you really want something that is made for film to scan negatives and to scan slides, get a film scanner. Yeah. They're designed for the job. And that is an important point. To get something that's designed for the job particularly, rather than something that's more across the board. And we're going to talk about that in a minute on a completely different subject. But my answers are brief, Paul, because of course time is of the essence. But I hope that gives you some idea. Those would be two scanners that I would be seriously looking at. The Nikon and the Minolta both get excellent reviews, with the Nikon getting something a little bit better for time. Scanning is such a laborious process.
Yep.
The Nikon is faster, apparently, than the Minolta. I only know from using the Nikon that it is good that way. But otherwise, they get excellent reviews in terms of image quality. So consider those. The other question came from Jamie, who wanted to know about my time in Peru. He's planning on going back there. So hello, Jamie. You come from a beautiful country, and I absolutely loved Peru, and I'd love to go back anytime. You ask if it's safe. I always think that safe is a relative thing. What is safe? I've felt more in danger being, you know, walking through the streets of Melbourne with my cameras than I did in many of the villages in the Andes. But you asked particularly about Lima. Now, when we went to Lima, we only spent a day there because really my idea was to get out of the cities. But as a group, we were kept safe by our guide and by someone that he hired, a secondary person who walked behind us, making sure that we weren't pickpocketed or harassed in any way.
It was the AK-47 that did it.
Yeah, well, that's right. The tripod-mounted machine gun on the trailer behind us was also very effective. But no, look, Lima was an issue. Not from my perspective, because I was ignorant, you know, very naive. I was just into taking photographs. But our guide felt that it was good to have himself and someone else looking after the group. I would do the same thing again in case of a group, but there was a certain area that I wanted to go into that I could see. It was just across the bridge and down the street, and I wanted to go into this area, and you know, our guide said absolutely not. We wouldn't get out of there without having gear stolen, or perhaps get out of there without being beaten up. Now, this is not to say that Lima is an awful, awful place. It's a beautiful city, but it was the city where our guide felt we needed someone else to look after us and make sure that nothing was stolen. We all had a great time in Peru, absolutely, and some of the best photographs I've ever taken were taken there, and some of the best memories I have in my life come from the 2.5 weeks I spent in Peru on our photo tour. So I hope that helps. I have been in countries where everybody said, oh, be careful, and never felt safer in my life. So I think it is always a relative thing. Just don't do anything stupid. Don't be anywhere ridiculous. And remember that no matter where you travel in the world, some idiot can make mincemeat out of you. Somebody's going to be looking at stealing your camera. And that could be in the United States. It could be in Canada. It could be in Australia. Yep. That could be anywhere in the world. People are essentially the same. We all just want to feed our families and live in peace, most of us. But there's the odd person who doesn't.
Yeah.
And that will apply anywhere you go.
While we're talking about it, any chance of sending me a few pictures from Peru that we can put
absolutely
up today?
Absolutely.
For everyone absolutely else that wants to have a look?
All right. I will make sure that I send some Peru pictures, some from Lima as well, so that you get an idea of the benefits that we took from just walking around Lima for a day, which was great.
Cool. Okay. What else have we got?
Well, getting back to our subject of buying things that are designed for the job, I wanted to talk about the prime lenses and zoom lenses.
Mm-hmm.
We are being inundated with some fabulous zoom lenses, and so we should. The advent of digital photography means smaller sensors. That means that we can actually have zoom lenses that once upon a time we would never have been possible, simply due to the size of a 24 by 36 millimeter frame. But because we're using APS size sensors in a lot of our digital SLRs, we can have lenses like the one I recently bought, the 11-18, the 10-20 Sigma, the 12-24 Nikon. These lenses are, you know, lenses that once upon a time would have been horrendously expensive, perhaps even impossible to make. So we're getting some great zoom lenses, but I'm wondering whether we're forgetting that prime lenses still exist and that they are lenses designed for certain tasks. And I just wanted to talk about the difference between the two. I've been an advocate of lenses, you know, in this entire series of podcasts, and an advocate of buying digital SLRs with interchangeable lens ability, simply for the option of having these lenses, these viewpoints on the world, really, is what they are, at our disposal. Let's have a look at some of the advantages of having zoom lenses, first of all. A zoom lens is an all-purpose lens. You put it on, it's wide-angle to telephoto, or it's, you know, small telephoto to make, big telephoto. It's great to have on there if you just want to carry one around. So that's the main benefit of a zoom. It's many eyes, many views on the world in one piece of equipment. It's there for you. It's always ready. They're very sharp, and there's no problems with that. They save you weight in that you're not carrying around a whole bunch of things as you're traveling, and they're often money saving because you can get 3-4 lenses effectively in one. But A prime lens is a lens that is designed for a particular task. Now, as I've often said in this podcast, I have an 85mm 1.8 that I absolutely live in, and I never thought that I would. But every time I put it on, I know exactly what I'm looking at. I know exactly what I'm seeing before I even put the camera to my eye. I know that I will get this much magnification, and it will highlight the subject simply because of its minimal depth of field, and I am used to seeing that way. So I choose that lens and put it on and often walk around with it ready to go. Case in point, while we were in China, one of the people that was with us, Pam, bought an 85mm 1.8 while we were there, simply because she could see how much fun I was having with mine. Another traveler who came with us, Boris, pulled out his 105 micro and used it for street portraits all the time. And he said to me that he actually learned, as I have, to see with that lens before he even put his eye to the camera, to the viewfinder. They're very sharp, and they are designed for a particular purpose. A portrait lens is designed to magnify to the degree that you want for a portrait. It is designed to be sharp, often at its optimum aperture. So at 1.8, it's designed to be pin sharp, which perhaps a zoom lens isn't designed to be, because it has to be sharp across the board, and there's always going to be a compromise. Prime lenses are usually faster in that they have wider maximum apertures, which means two things. You can shoot more effectively in available light, and also you can minimize depth of field. Now, I am all about this particular process. Highlighting the subject is effectively done by minimizing depth of field, especially if you're talking about candid portraits or even formal portraits of people, animals, that kind, or still life even. I would, you know, suggest always that you try that technique. And they are, as we've said, educational. They teach you to see in a particular way. And everybody has a preference, landscape over portrait perhaps, or still life. Everybody has their favorite subject. And Ian Rolfe, a good friend of mine, I think he sees with a 20mm lens. He sees everything in wide angle. And often that's the lens that he'll pull out because that's what, how he's seen the landscape that he's about to photograph. Me, I see with an 85mm 1.8, and all other lenses are supplementary to that. So I would suggest that while it's a good idea to have a couple of zooms, certainly something like an 11-18 and then maybe an 18-200, or perhaps more effectively an 80-200 2.8, which is a fabulous lens, and a 28-80 or whatever it might be, have a couple of zoom lenses handy that are there if you can only carry a minimal amount of equipment. But also, if you can afford it, have a think about buying a couple of prime lenses, lenses that suit your kind of photography. A lens with one focal length, 100mm, 85mm, 180mm, whatever it might be, 20mm, so that you have this lens that you say, this is how I see most things, and this is how I want to take this photograph. Zoom lenses can actually tend to be a little too flexible, and I find personally that they can reduce the creativity that you have, because you are able to move around a little bit and you're not actually getting into the zone of your pre-visualization. You're not using a lens that you have actually seen the image in your mind with. So consider that as an option. Have some zoom lenses in your bag, but make sure that if you can afford it, you have a couple of prime lenses that suit your style and preferences and photography.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was at a Christmas party the other night at a mate's place, and I had the 7D with me, and one of the lenses that I had on my old analog kit is a 50mm f1.7.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous.
And I had that on the 7D, and the great thing was we were all sitting out on a back veranda, and the sun had gone down, it was mm-hmm. late dusk, but I was able to bump the ISO on the camera up to like 1600. Mm. And shoot at f1.7 and get really natural lighting shots. And you could even see the fairy lights on the balcony.
Excellent.
And it just, I'll post one of the photos that I took of a girl
That's
called
a
Michelle,
great idea.
Who's a great friend of mine. And, you know, it's just fantastic to be able to shoot in such low light without having to use flash.
Yeah.
But having a prime lens, you know, it was just beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I will do the same, actually. I'll get you some images so that you can post on the site to see what I'm talking about in terms of using prime lenses. If you have a style of photography, there will be a lens to suit it that you'll find yourself seeing with. And I really recommend that process to improve the dynamics of your images.
Yep, cool. All right then, Shelton, we have one more week of Shutters Inc. for this year. So I will talk with you this time next week.
I look forward to it. And thank you again to all our listeners. Please continue to be interactive with us because we like to know what you need to know and answer your questions.
Absolutely. All right, mate. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bruce. Look forward to it, mate. See you soon.
See ya.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotoyou.com. Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
Audiotoyou.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control D to bookmark.
Audiotoyou.com.